WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively up on the biggest game ever. That's all. You know, everywhere I go, everybody I talk to, they better win. They better win. I sort of feel they better win. We're planning something really, really cool next month. Lots of folks are asking about Radio Row and the Super Bowl and talking about ticket prices at the Super Bowl. And by the way, you can get in for like less than $100 this week if you're willing to go out and do the 18 degree thing on Saturday night. But we're going to be doing a thing called Crab Cake Row, a cup of soup or bowl. We'll be offering you that on behalf of the Maryland Food Bank. I'll be telling you tons about that. Hopefully, Luke Jones, in the aftermath of a victory on Saturday afternoon, and we sit around on Saturday night and watch the other guys play, and then we wait for the Rock'em Sock'em Buffalo Kansas City game in harsh conditions in the frozen tundra and all that stuff. Frozen tundras where you're going to be. Dude, I don't know how the heat's equipped down there, but it's going to get tested for even you media types behind glass. I'm telling you, dude, froze my ass off in the press box in Denver at the Mile High Miracle game, and we're getting there. Pack gloves. That's all I'm saying. You know, they don't like the media around there. They might freeze you out.
Yeah, but us media have no right to complain compared to the fans that are going to brave the elements. I mean, let's be very clear. And yeah, I'll be wearing long sleeves, but that's the least of anyone's concerns as we're finally almost here. It's finally almost game day. I mean, a long layoff for the Ravens. We've talked about it at length. We speculated for a couple weeks about who they'd be playing. We know it's the Houston Texans, of course. Gone through the practice week. I think we have a decent idea, other than maybe Mark Andrews, in terms of who's out, who's in for Saturday's game. But let's kick it off and play. I think all the excitement, all the buildup for this, you get to a point where, you know, I even talked to Lamar Jackson in the locker room. It was actually late last week and just went up to him. And I said, you know, how much is it driving you nuts not knowing who you're going to play? And he said this, you know, even at the podium, but he's antsy. And I don't mean a negative, nervous kind of energy, more like, hey, let's get going. You know, we're a heck of a football team and we're ready and we want to go play. So the Ravens are going to get their chance
Saturday.
Reminds me
of Clem Florio watching the horses when they come out. He wants to run. He wants to run, you know? Yeah. Like, and that's the way it is, I guess, at the end of preseason too. There's that energy of, all right, enough of training camp.
Yeah.
Because, dude, this has been a training camp or something. How many days off?
I mean,
you know, between snaps for Lamar and for a couple of these key guys.
You're talking December 31st was the last time that Lamar Jackson and not all the starters, but a handful of other starters played. So you're talking a 20-day layoff, right? I mean, it's very, you just
you're
said
worried about pitchers and hitting in 3 days over a weekend, right?
Yeah.
Like timing and just all of that. And this is all on John, right? I mean, it really is. And I talked to Jared Johnson, by the way, this week. For something you to listen to, like once a week, you should listen to one portion of my show. Jared Johnson would be the one this week because he did talk about 06. He talked about 19 and being around the team as a broadcaster and just that this is awkward. This is for a football player, this is really awkward.
It is. And what's funny about it, because I've even seen a few fans talk about this, and it's a fair point on Twitter, you know, social media, Facebook, whatever. I've seen a few people mention that it's so funny how we talk about this bye week for the number one seed in each conference. And for years, it was the top two seeds and how it's viewed compared to how we view the bye week during the season. Right. You know, during the season, it's, hey, it's our bye week. We can get right. We're resting up. We're going to come out fresh. Extra time to prepare for whichever opponent you have coming out of the bye. You don't view it through the same lens as you view this, which is you better be ready to play. And the difference is when you come out of the bye week in whether it's week 5 or week 13, the stakes aren't as high knowing that if you happen to lose, your season isn't over.
Also be playing Carolina or like Cleveland in the
sure,
old days.
Sure,
didn't
sure.
John have an extraordinary record after bye weeks? Am I nuts in saying that?
For years, he continues to. I mean, I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
It's almost as freaky as the 17-0 preseason thing, right? It's like as freaky as Lamar's NFC thing. I mean, the outlier stats in all of this and the fact that they've only won one playoff game or two playoff games in the case of John in a long, long time is kind of crazy because they've done some supernatural stuff in regard to, and I saw John popping off with Schefter on an in-house thing. Now Schefter's going to be owned by the NFL. Boy, am I week after Radio Row, we're going to have a good time around here talking about the media, but I saw John popping off about revolution, revolution, revolution. I don't know, man. Dude, win some playoff games, win one ring. So, Mahomes got two. Don't be telling me about revolution. Revolution is what the Cowboys are. You win a lot of games in the regular season, and then you don't win here. I mean, like, they're all out doing media. They're all out signing autographs. They're all out doing, like, it's cool. They're splashing up cars. I just have never talked to anyone, including John McClain this week and people around the league, where they just are expected to be in Las Vegas. Like, and I don't know that beating the Chiefs or the Bills in a big game anytime, anywhere on a cold day, we would look at it ever and thought, well, they're just going to win that game. We feel that way about them right now. I don't want to say it's a dangerous level of overconfidence at all. It's good to be confident. It's good to believe you're going to win. They all believe they're going to win. Visualizing, I'm coming down to the stadium in the cold over the weekend, look around and feel the vibes and get the mojo. I'm good with all that. I mean, whatever John did before, if he's doing something different this time, he's better coached than me, that's for sure. But in the case of this particular matchup, they're getting the hot team. They're getting the young. They're getting D'Amico. I mean, I've been in Houston all week talking about all this. It's a playoff game, right? And this team's a double-digit dog on the road or getting up on 10 points, right? Like, this should be not candy from a baby, but they shouldn't be losing at halftime and sweating. And I think that that's the fan base has seen this too many times where we always sweat because when they come out of the bye week, they're playing some schlub. This is a rested, ready, good, sound passing game, like the whole deal. And we're so injuries and players on the field, because I want to pretend we're out on a cold day, Luke. Is Mark Andrews playing? Because everybody was asking me that at Hollywood Casino the other day. And I'm like, I think he's going to try. And like, as you sit here, if you had a dollar, which way you bet? Is he going to play or not?
Let me get to that. I want to share something on the heels of what you were just talking about, though. I have a quote from John Harbaugh, and then I'm going to explain it or clarify where it came from. The quote was, "You just keep playing. You keep that edge. You are kind of going week to week. There's not time to breathe or think about anything. I absolutely think that can be a plus. It has been for us in the past. We've been pretty good on the road over the years in the playoff times." Historically, there's certainly something to that, and we're well aware of that on the other side of it. That was John Harbaugh talking the week of the Tennessee Titans playoff game back in 2019. And tell me that same exact principle doesn't apply to Houston right now. Another AFC South team, upstart team, young head coach as Mike Vrabel was at that point in time. Not a rookie quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, but certainly not someone that, was striking fear in anyone. Different team, I get it.
They
I'm
don't know
not.
any better. They remind me of us in
Stylistically,
2000, you know?
stylistically they're very different from the Titans because they don't run the ball in the same way, which is not a good thing for them because if the Ravens defense has shown one vulnerability, it's been giving up a little bit more on the ground than you would expect. Anyway, my point is you hear that kind of quote, and it's why I keep saying I'm going to post a link to it. I'm not even going to rewrite the article, but I'm going to post it in my 12 Ravens thoughts as I offer my final musings on the game on Saturday. But that's why it's so important for them to start fast. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. And I wrote the same thing 4 years ago, and they didn't start fast. They were trailing 14-0 early in the second quarter, and they never recovered. So that's the cautionary tale. Mark Andrews, at the beginning of the week, or really late last week, when we first saw him on the practice field, designated to return from IR, ankle heavily taped. He moved around reasonably well, but you could tell, yeah, this guy is coming back from an ankle injury. Over the course of this week, we've seen him increase his activity level to the point that even logging full practice participation. He spoke in the locker room on Wednesday. Look, it's not 100%, but I'll say this much. I would have been at the end of last week probably saying 20 or 25% for the divisional round. And before he spoke on Wednesday, maybe 50-50, 45-55, something like that. This feels like it's something where there's some legs to the idea that he's going to give it a go. Now, let's be very clear. And this might apply not just for the divisional round, but the AFC Championship. And yes, if they make it to the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, I don't think we're going to see a 60 snap a game, Mark Andrews. I think we're going to be seeing a key third down, red zone pitch count kind of a Mark Andrews. Look, Isaiah Likely's done a tremendous job in his place. You know, this offense has, not because Mark Andrews has been out there, but in spite of his absence, their offense has taken off over the last 6 weeks, not counting the Pittsburgh game that was a glorified exhibition. So they're not in a position where they, quote, need Mark Andrews to play, but these aren't pass-fail propositions. We're always talking about increasing win probability, to put it in nerdy terms, right? Having Mark Andrews available to potentially contribute, even if it's only in a 10 to 15 or 20 snap capacity, that should help you increase your odds of winning the football game, especially against a team that, yeah, is an underdog. You know, we're talking about a 9 point, 9.5, depending on which sports book you're subscribing to. But, you know, I think there's a very decent chance that we're going to see him. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that going into the end of the week, the Ravens cleared three roster spots. You know, they have three roster spots for Mark Andrews, potentially Devin Duvernay returning and taking his return duties back, because Tylan Wallace is actually banged up right now. And even someone like Ardarius Washington, or yes, Dalvin Cook on the practice squad, as they released Melvin Gordon during the practice week. So
you fumble, you get cut here, right?
Yeah. Well, and let's face it, Melvin Gordon had a golden opportunity in that Pittsburgh game, and he put the ball on the ground, and he didn't really produce anyway. So, you know, Dalvin Cook's going to, certainly you expect him to be elevated. You know, they don't need to put him on the 53-man roster because they can just elevate him from the practice squad. But the point is, they've cleared the deck roster-wise to the point where even if Mark Andrews is playing very sparingly on Saturday, they have the roster flexibility to do this without losing a player that you value, you know, in terms of having to waive someone. So, you know, I tend to think that there's a pretty good chance he's going to play. And I would not have said that a week ago. I would have said a week ago when he was out there, all right, they're doing this to give the Texans the idea that he might play on Saturday. And yeah, he's going to ramp up over the course of the week, but I'm thinking the AFC Championship is still more likely. And let's be clear, that could still be the plan, and everything they've done over the last week could exactly be what I'm just suggesting, or what I thought it might have been, which is giving Houston the idea that Mark Andrews could play this week, and really the idea is for him to play next week. But, you know, he's looked pretty good. He did say that recovery post-practice, you know, post-workouts that he's been doing for weeks now in terms of just getting that ankle right, managing the swelling. I will say, seeing him in the locker room, I mean, he was walking with a limp after practice, and that's been normal for him. So this has really been a major recovery for him. Heck, he even said he's been using a hyperbaric oxygen chamber that his girlfriend's family apparently had, which I thought was very random.
There was a lot of intrigue on the internet about the hyperbaric chamber.
Yeah. But the point is, this has been a round the clock endeavor for Mark Andrews, the Ravens training staff, doctors, everyone.
Well, you know, people that he works with. He's a $56 million player. It looks to me like, hey, dude, if you think you want to play Saturday, go run around out there on Wednesday and we'll see how it goes. And then there's the where's the swelling on Thursday and Friday, and let's not tell the media, and let's pretend you're going to play and stand up and act like you might play, and then go out there in sweats and run around when it's 15 degrees. And, you know, maybe it's in our best interest to make it look like you're going to play because I'm John Harbaugh and this is the way we do things. And, you know, and you'll be on that WNST text, I guess, right around 2 o'clock or so on Saturday afternoon when you send it out. And, you know, you'll be a no-go this week, but at least the faking part of getting him out there, and he had a full participation, at least makes the gamblers and the Texans have to at least, you know, D'Amico Ryans has to think about one more thing. A gimpy tight end, with given that position and given the cut and given what you have to be speed-wise and power-wise, you know, I don't like to hear you as a reporter saying he's, you know, why do we let reporters in the locker room? Because it's just what you gave me. He's limping around. That kind of tells me, like, unless he's putting on a show for you guys, which I don't know. I've never really sat and talked to Mark Andrews. I've had a microphone in front of him, but I don't know how much they would be into theatrics this week, but that would be Harbaughian. I don't know. But that being said, if he's limping around, if he can't do the things he needs to do in this kind of a football game, and I will keep coming back to the weather, because the weather is going to be, we talk the game, the game, the game, the game. Then they walk out, it's 15 degrees and guys can't breathe. And somebody gets cold and mistakes happen and the ball's like a rock and all that's going to happen for sure.
Yeah, and again, could there be a gamesmanship element to this? Of course. Of course. And look, the Ravens would not be the only team to do this. But that said, even if he's not playing Saturday, he was always going to need a ramp-up period. You're not going to have 2 months off and then you just play in a football game, especially coming off of an ankle slash fibula injury that required surgery 2 months ago. So, you know, he even said, he drew the comparison. This is the Terrell Owens injury that he had. If you go back to the 2004 Eagles, and he got hurt very late in the regular season. I think he had a shorter timetable, T.O. did, than Andrews. Again, is it 100% exactly the same? You know, I don't know
well,
that.
T.O. was doing sit-ups out in his driveport. Well, I mean, we
that was a year or two later, right? Yeah, yeah. So this is when he and Donovan McNabb didn't hate each other just yet. But the point is...
Oh, good week for Eagles history. Thank you.
Oh, I know, right? I'm sure my brother-in-law loves hearing me make reference to that. But the point is, Andrews is going to need some practice time one way or the other. Do I think he can play Saturday? Sure. Is he going to be 100%? No, no way. And that's where I go back to, I'm not sure he's going to be 100% until training camp. But if it's a case of Mark Andrews at 85%, and again, that's an arbitrary number, but a Mark Andrews that's a lesser Mark Andrews, but he can contribute, you know, whether it's inside the red zone, a key third down kind of play, whatever it is, then yeah, you'll take that. And really, you view his role as not so much replacing Isaiah Likely. I think Isaiah Likely will continue to be the primary tight end, at least for the first game Andrews is back. I mean, and probably the rest of the way. It's more so, all right, Mark Andrews replacing Charlie Kohler in some of those spots, you know? So that's where, yeah, you'll take that, even if it's not a 100% Mark Andrews. But the rest, the recovery, that's been a big thing for him. He flat out said, I have to manage the swelling whenever I've been working out. So, this guy wants to play.
There's no question about that.
If nothing else, he really, really wants to play. And I flat out asked him, I said, I would never imply that these last 2 months have been easy for you, but watching this team play at the level and this offense play at the level at which it's played since you've been out, has that made things easier? And he got the biggest smile on his face. I mean, you could just tell that this guy is proud of his team, excited about his team, and he wants to contribute. And look, he also... To his credit, he also said, yeah, this is about how I feel, but it's also a matter of I've got to be mature and say, can I contribute? Knowing how good the rest of this offense is, knowing how good Isaiah Likely has been, knowing how good, how much better the receivers are than past years. He didn't say that, but we all know the truth with that. He has to make an accurate assessment, and the coaches and the trainers have to make an accurate assessment to say, okay, Mark Andrews at this percent is – going to be an improvement for us over Charlie Kohler being out there.
But if he can't run at 100%, that's his specialty. I mean, he's a great route runner getting into space and whatnot, but there is a speed element to what he
does.
There's
a speed.
And I was just going to say, man, it's been kind of cruddy with Heap and Pitta and injuries. And then I think about Gronkowski, who annoys the living. Please go away. My God, he's terrible. But always injured, always banged up, always fight. You know, there's a part of being a tight end that these injuries, especially in this organization, I wouldn't say for some guys that go to the Hall of Fame and Shannon Sharp and Tony Gonzalez or whatever, but the tight ends we've had, it sucks seeing them be so banged up this time of year, because it feels like it's been a theme for 20 years that tight ends, man, January's tough on tight ends.
I mean, January's tough on everyone. I mean, the reality is, and look, I mean, the point you're making as far as, you know, whether he's healthy or not, I mean, we always use, again, pass or fail, healthy or not. It's a sliding scale, right? It's a range. Very few guys are truly 100% this time of year. I mean, the
but
good
can
news.
Charlie Kohler run faster as a healthy man than an 80% of Mark Andrews? You know, that would be the question, right?
Sure, sure. I mean, I'll say this for what it's worth. On, when was it? Tuesday, I think it was. They were practicing indoors because that was right after the snow had come. You know, he made a leaping one-handed catch. Now, it was during warm-ups, but it was the kind of thing that you would say, okay, he's clearly feeling pretty good to be able to do that, to even try to do that. So, again, we'll see. He's not 100%. That doesn't mean he's 50% either and can't run at all. When I've seen him try to move, it's looked pretty good. It's looked better than I thought it would, quite frankly. It's steadily gotten a little bit better every practice that I've seen him out there. So, you know, we're just going to have to see how it plays out. Again, they have open roster spots. I mean, they could even if you want to take the gamesmanship to a higher level, they could even activate him in terms of putting him on the 53-man roster, you know, because you have to do that the day before. And then he could be inactive if you felt compelled to say, okay, he's not quite ready, because you have to put guys down anyway. So
yeah, but if other guy, if he's at the edge of the bench and you don't have no intention of playing him and you need another safety or...
But that's why I said you deactivate him. I mean, they have open roster spots right now. That's my point. They have spots to play with. Keep in mind, in the playoffs, you can elevate from the practice squad, and there's no limit on that in terms... You have two per game that you can elevate from the practice squad, and you know, it could be the same guys throughout your potential Super Bowl run. So they have a lot of roster flexibility. Again, we'll see. I do feel more inclined to say that I think he has a better chance to play than I would have said a week ago, where I would have kind of laughed about the divisional round. But, you know, he's moved pretty well, and, you know, he's practicing fully. I'll say this, and this is true everywhere. We know those injury reports are, you know, you can manipulate a little bit, and we know that they don't tell the whole picture. I mean, full, limited, did not participate. I mean, there's
a lot. You cover hockey, you can have upper and lower body injuries.
Exactly. At least we actually get body part specifications, you know, unlike hockey where it's upper body, lower body. So,
hey, speaking of upper and lower body, you know, I know Marlo, you know, dropped the new podcast. Is he playing? I mean, where is he, dude?
I do not have much confidence in playing at this point in time. I mean, he hurt his calf. Remember, that was in the first half of the Miami game. He has not practiced since then. We saw him last week. I was a little surprised not to see him on the practice field at the beginning of this week, because last week we saw him a couple days doing some running, doing some agility work. And, you know, I wasn't up close. You know, it was kind of on a side field, but he seemed to be moving reasonably well. So I don't know if he had a setback. I don't know if the calf just didn't respond terribly well. I don't know if they're trying to be extra cautious, because keep in mind, he had a calf injury. It was the second Cleveland game, and he missed missed some action. You know, not a long time, but he missed at least one game. I think it was, if not two, with that injury. So, I think the reality is he's running out of time. I mean, you know, even if he gets on the practice field at the very end of the week, I mean, you're talking about nearly 3 weeks that he hasn't practiced officially for them. So, I think.
Chances he's looking like a guy that they got to get to the Super Bowl to get him back on the field.
Or at least, you know, next week. Because, yeah, I mean, the fact that he's not even on the practice field this week, to me, not just takes him out of play for Saturday, most likely, but then you start to wonder if he's available for the AFC Championship. So, like I said, he has been doing some running, but that's why I was a little surprised not to see him out there this week. But would be tough to only get out on the field for one day and be out there after a 3 week layoff, especially a calf injury. That's the kind of injury that has a high setback rate. I'm not a doctor, but I've been around enough sport, you know, football injuries to kind of know how this works.
A little like Doogie Howser, you know,
I don't know about that, but I think in the case of Mark Andrews, there's some optimism with Marlon Humphrey. I don't think there's much optimism at all at this point. I think that's probably going to be hopefully you have him back for the AFC Championship against, you know, Kansas City or Buffalo, depending on how that plays out. But of course, they have to take care
Luke,
of business.
Luke, you're jinxing them. You're jinxing them talking like that. You know,
I can look ahead. The team cannot, but I can look ahead. I can be overconfident. I can look ahead. I do not play. I do not subscribe to that. There are no jinxes. So, I think the overall point, Ravens are in pretty good shape health-wise. Though Zay Flowers practicing fully. You know, he's going to be back. Owe does have the ankle heavily taped, so that's something to watch, but he practiced fully, so he's going to give it a go. Malik Harrison, who helps some of their depth, you know, some of their early down Sam linebacker play, he offers some of that. He's back on the practice field. So, and as I mentioned, Devin Duvernay, fully expect him to be activated, and it's a good thing because Tylan Wallace tweaked his knee last week at practice, and, you know, not looking great for him to be able to play, which that's a low key, not just talking about the return game, but he's one of their best special teams players. So that's a low key, you know, keep that in the back of your mind if you see some sort of breakdown over the course of the game, special teams wise.
How's it been for you in a park at their practice this week and 20 degrees and, you know, these guys, I mean, a lot of Florida guys. I hate the cold. You hate the cold. We all hate the cold. You know, I hated watching the cold in Kansas City the other night. It made me feel cold in a warm casino up at Perryville. I mean, you know, it just, ticket prices are depressed. There's 25,000 tickets on the market. Everybody thought they were going to mark their ticket prices up and gouge a Browns fan or a Steelers fan. Instead, there's going to be, 1,800 people from Texas come here in red and find their seats for $89. There was a point in all this where, look, I sat out in the cold because I haven't talked to anybody about this week. So I'll talk to you about it because I was a season ticket holder for 27 years, sitting in the front row where the wind came up and the rain came up and the snow came up and we loved it all. And the Denver game in 2000 was pretty cold. Our Green Bay game when Brett Favre came in here, Kyle Bowler night, really cold. I mean, the only night I ever went into a skybox was that night because it was so cold and the game didn't matter and we stunk and Billick was getting canned, the whole deal, right? So, this is going to be as cold as it gets. This is as intolerable as maybe you'd ever see a game in Baltimore, right? Game in the teens. I mean, maybe next week it'll be worse. Although it's supposed to be 60 degrees next Friday. I did the forecast on this, which also makes me don't jinx them. You can't talk about it. I put ticket stubs up, phantom ticket stubs up that I have in my collection. Because it was a PSL holder, I used to get the strips and pay a year ahead, do all that, and tell people buying PSLs, and the team loves you, and they're community-oriented, and all of that stuff. I wouldn't tell people it's worth sitting outside in 15 degrees, but I'm 55, and I've done it 100 times, and I've got pictures of it. I've done it's tough. It's rough. It was rough in the press box in Denver at Mahi Miracle, and to your point, I've had three people on the show this week that were at that game, and Stokely's coming on Monday. So that's four. So he was in the game. So, how cold can be when cold is there and the heaters on the sidelines and all of that. Lamar always looks cold. I don't know what that means. It'll really say something to me if Lamar goes out and has this incredible game on an 18 degree day, because that's something he's not done. We're talking about playing well in the cold for the team, but Texans playing a dome, they're not going to be – I mean, I'll hear all of that, but it really is about mental capacity and staying focused when you're that cold. And I'll say that as a guy who does hot yoga and gets in a 110-degree room, and the whole idea is to sort of break you like you're in the jungle and, lose your concentration. It's a hard game in any temperature, right? I mean, it is. I think it's really, really tough, and it's really about toughness, and there's a kind of toughness that cold – guys like Tony Siragusa got off on it. I think Flacco kind of always got off on it. Brett Favre kind of dug it. You know what I mean? Some guys dig it and some guys don't dig it. And you don't know if you don't dig it. I know I don't dig it. And I know I don't dig it when I go to New York last year with the guy who saved my wife's life. And it's 15 degrees. It was 15 degrees that week in New York, day after Christmas. And I'm like, I'm not leaving. I didn't want to walk from here to there. And we have fans that clearly love the team, who just are, your buddy wants to see an AFC championship game, unless it's 8 degrees. It's a different animal. What the fans are going to endure. And I hope everybody stays safe. And I mean that like top down, because it's not a safe thing to do. It really isn't.
I mean, you have to dress in layers. I mean, I've been out there. I mean, look, full disclosure. And again, we joked at the beginning of our conversation about the press box being chilly. I mean, I haven't bought a Ravens ticket in 13 years, so I'm not going to pretend to talk out of turn.
I bought enough for both of us. It's okay.
Sure. Yeah. But I do want to throw this out there just as a reminder. This is only the eighth home playoff game in Ravens history. 2000, 2003, 2006, 2011 against the Texans, 2012, 2018 against the Chargers, and obviously how disappointing that was, 2019 against the Titans. Look,
when's the last time people walked out of our building with a whim? Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
That was the last time we walked out of the building with a playoff win. Wow.
With all of that said, I mean, look, it is going to be so cold. I'm not going to be preachy because, look, it's someone else's money. It's someone else's health potentially getting sick. Being
at this point in my life,
that.
I wouldn't do it, and I don't think it's worth it. And I'll say that out loud.
But that said, we also, 2019 was a great example of this. 2006 was a great example of it. And great's the wrong word there. Awful example of this. But as much as people are, I think, saving up for an AFC championship game, because that would be the first in the history of this franchise and first in over 50 years in Baltimore, it's not guaranteed. So there is that element of, it's going to be cold. And A divisional matchup against Houston is not the same as a potential AFC championship against Kansas City or Buffalo, but there haven't been many of these around here, and that's wild. I mean, you talked about some of the anomalies, some of the wild stats. It's crazy considering this is a franchise that has two Super Bowls over the last 25 years, all the playoff appearances, all the success,
They're
all the
the
wins.
great franchise, the stable franchise, great
Yeah,
ownership,
but they
great
haven't.
leadership, great coach. They haven't
They
done
haven't had a ton of
squat.
home playoff games. It's been on the road, which, hey, compliments to them for doing that. I mean, my goodness. I mean, the 2000 Ravens, they beat Denver and then they went on the road. I mean, that's my all-time favorite team. But the point is, don't take this for granted this week. If it's only about, hey, I'm just saving up for the AFC Championship, and if you have the disposable income and you're younger and you don't mind the cold weather, it could still be a heck of a lot of fun. So I'll just throw that out there because it's something that really struck me that, wow, we're still talking on home playoff games in Ravens history. And the Ravens are, they're going to be 30 years old pretty soon. We're coming up on that. That's not that far away. And
And
you can
Mahomes
still
has
count
played
on two
15 at
hands and
home
have
since he
fingers
got
left
here, right?
over.
15 home game. What's the number?
Yeah,
Mahomes has played.
I mean, it's whatever it is, it's a lot,
He's
right?
playing the
I mean,
first road game,
this
but
will be
that's
his
an
first
amazing.
road
I'm just
playoff
trying to
game.
put this into perspective, at like, and how many home games
Yeah.
Tom Brady probably played. It had to be in the 30s, right? Like a crazy amount of home games, and we played eight ever, seven ever, eight when we get to Saturday. That like. Because I did think about how many divisional games have been here, because there have been no AFC Championship games. We're all under that from 71. I'm going to try to chase down Fred
Right.
Biletnikoff next week, who played in that game. By the way, he doesn't do Zoom, so I'm it's going to be radio, old school. Which I told JT the Brick this week. I'm like, all right,
Nice.
I'm old school with a Hall of Famer. I'm good like that. I'll figure that out. Zoom does radio. Zoom does phone calls. So I would just say all of this. Like, this is the first one I'm missing. As an example, right? So I've been the other seven, and I think about them individually. It doesn't feel like a lot of games, and I mean, I remember the bus trips a lot more, but none of it feels current. And maybe that's the plague to some degree. You're sort of wiping out some stuff like that. Like when I had to go to Buffalo 3 days ahead of time and cross the border and get a test and and bend over and cough and do all that just to go to the game in Buffalo to watch them lose. I didn't do that 3 years ago. One of the other things they held against me when they took my credential away. But during that period of time, we weren't going to games. Nobody was going to games. I mean, this is an amped up moment. And the other part of this is it's kind of very unfortunate too. And I'll say this out loud, that the loudness of a stadium and the science of it. And I figured this out because I've been to more playoff games than anybody you've ever met, inside, outside, in the stands, down in the lower bowl, upper bowl. I've been everywhere. I've been everywhere. January in outdoor games in the cold, people wear gloves. So there's no clapping sound. The only sound you have is your voice. You lose your voice, the breath, the patting of the hands, all of that. It's not going to sound the way it does when Ray Lewis danced on an October 68 degree day and people go nuts. There'll be all this manufactured sound in all of this, but I've always noticed that whether it was Cleveland, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, it doesn't get nearly as loud this time of year because the fans get cold and the fans are padded in some way. And that's why that Detroit game, I thought, what an advantage they have. It's 5 degrees out. And all anybody talked about who was at that game, from Collinsworth to Peter King's thing, was just how insanely loud it is to operate in that building. And it's unfortunate I'm talking a tactical stand. I'm talking 12th man. I'm talking about what the players all come out, yell for us, scream for us, which my wife did for 28 years until we were kicked out by their vice president of whatever he is. We were yellers, screamers, noisemakers. That was part of the thing. And I know the people that are going down there. God, it's 15 degrees. Do what you do. God bless you. I should take this moment to say that the game last week, I saw a video from a fan and you've been to the CFG Bank. You go to arenas, right? The new arena thing is you go through, you swipe. It's like a Royal Farms. You go through, you grab your soda, your beer, you swipe, swipe, and you walk out, and it's a convenience store where you get your beer. Somebody took a water out of one of those in Kansas City and filmed it, and it literally froze from the top down in like 4 seconds. It just literally just froze.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, ooh, I did that in Green Bay. I went to the championship game that Kerry Collins played for the Carolina Panthers. You talk about some cold-ass people. I saw these people in these Carolina Panthers, you know, the family section that day at Lambeau Field.
Mm-hmm.
You can look it up. It was 10 degrees, 8 degrees. There was 2 feet of snow everywhere. I have fun pictures of cheese on my head and me and Scotty P. But I totally remember going to buy French fries at Lambeau Field, and I bought them hot out of the fryer. I got to my seat, and they literally were frozen potato sticks, like the ones you got out of a can when you were a kid. And I thought to myself, man, this is, man, I'm 28 years old, and God bless everybody that goes down there. But there is a significant part of this, Luke, that scream on third down to F up CJ Stroud, that's not going to be as much of a factor, even in the Buffalo game the other night, because there was snow and people, and they're throwing the snow. But the noise factor, being able to operate, our building's been a hellhole for 28 years. Not going to be that kind of game. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's an advantage that we've always had, that we really took advantage of. And I mean, come on, man. Those third downs in the fourth quarter during the Ray Lewis, Suggs, Reed era, you couldn't hear yourself think in our building. But none of those games are playoff games, to your point. I mean, how many home playoff games did Ed Reed play? Oh. Like, not many. Like, now that you're starting to give me the math on it, I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, 5, 3, 6, not many.
I think it was 4. It would have been 03, 06, 11, and 12.
That's an incredible thing. That's an incredible thing, right? Really.
And by the way, Ray Lewis only 5. I mean, that's why I said, you know, and this, everything you just said about the cold, even more reason for what I said at the beginning of our conversation, I've been a broken record about, and I get it. You know, it's simplistic. Start fast because of those fans will be more inclined to give every last percent of their breath, you know, of their voice to cheer and to be loud on third down. If you start out with a 10-0 lead in the first quarter compared to if you're down 10-0 and boy, it starts feeling cold then, right? I mean, you have adrenaline. I mean, even fans will have adrenaline as the game at least kicks off, right? You know, you have some liquid courage as well before the game, but you know, you start slow and the game's not going the way you want it to. And that's not even to imply that the Ravens couldn't come back. They're much better equipped to come back than they were 4 years ago. I think that's obvious. But
I think there's a point to me that if I was in the casino and they're down 14-0, and I know how this works lately. I've learned. I mean, I'm not a gambler at all, but I could be if I wanted to be now, right? You know, I could host a DraftKings lounge, you know, at High Tops with former players if I wanted to. But if I were a gambling man and they're down 14-0, that's probably when I would go up to the window and say, what are the odds now? I'm going to go all in on the Ravens to come back, you know, because they could come back, right? Like, there's no way they were coming back for, I mean, they needed a miracle for, they would need the ball to defense, take the ball away. There would have had to have been a lot of that to come back. I still think they're capable of having the defense take the ball away if they're down 14-0. I'd like their odds better if they fell behind at that point. I mean, I think they can throw the ball. I think they have weapons. I wouldn't be as down on them if things piled up on them early in the game. I'd say that's something they'd look at and say, it's something we haven't done. Come back from 14-0 on a 20-degree day at home. Let's go do it. And I think they could.
I still think that's a theory you don't want to test, though, if you can avoid it. I mean, that's for any team. Let's
I want to say that out loud, because out loud at 5:15, if they are losing, I don't know, 17-13 or something, halftime, I mean, I don't, if they have a heart of a champion, Luke, I mean, I'll be the a-hole today on the radio. If they have a heart of a champion, it'll show. You know, this is their 3 weeks to show that they've been really good all year long. Everybody's betting on them. Everybody believes in them. I watch it from afar, and I talk to people everywhere. Everybody expects them to win. And Lamar's resiliency, his just everything that people talk about with him that they said he couldn't do, he's done. He promised the Super Bowl the first night, like Joe effing Namath, right? Like Namath at the pool. Came out and said, I believe that. All right, well, here we go. I mean, if they are that, they'll show that. And they're capable, they're healthy, well-coached, well-led, well-supported. Every Kyle Van Noy and Jadeveon Clowney and even Dalvin Cook. Is Dalvin Cook going to run the ball?
I mean, we'll see. People were asking about this. It's like, look, Melvin Gordon didn't exactly, it wasn't exactly a high bar. I mean, there were some games Melvin Gordon was active and he didn't even play, you know. So I think it's, I put it this way, I don't think we're going to see Melvin Gordon or Dalvin Cook line up as their starting running back per se, but does he get some touches and then you see how it goes? Sure, why not? I mean, there's a reason why they brought him in, but at the same time, I'll also remind everyone that he was not good for the Jets this year. And I get it, it was the Jets, but look at his numbers compared to Breece Hall, their starting running back. So it's possible that Melvin Gordon, I keep mixing them up because
Dalvin Cook.
we're talking about former Pro Bowl running backs, and the Lamar factor always helps, but not even Lamar could salvage whatever Le'Veon Bell was 2 years ago when he came to Baltimore and was a Raven for 5 minutes. So, but we'll see how it plays out. I mean, he's going to be up. You know, they're going to elevate him because they're going to want a third running back. So we'll see how it plays out. But everything you just said, I mean, this team has checked every possible box it can in the regular season. But that's not the same as the playoffs. And that is not to say they're not going to do it or they won't do it or they can't do it or anything like that. They have to go out and do it. Lamar Jackson, you and I, we've talked about this for 4 years. And by the way, it's been 3 years since Lamar Jackson has played in a playoff game. Go look at what the roster was at that point in time. I'll give you some names right now who were on that team. Dez Bryant, Derek Wolfe, Anthony Averett, Yannick Ngakoue. I mean, guys that it feels like it was a long time ago that they were a Raven. That was the
By the
last
way,
time.
you're naming guys that played 5 minutes here. You've named like six of them. And I'm like, your off-season list, or you and I, when we just feel like being idiots one day on the radio, should just start naming every Chico Simone that ever, you know, like they've had just this litany of guys that lined up for 5 minutes that were like Willie Andersons and just guys you just totally associate with DeSean Jackson's like. Eric's brought everybody in here to see if they can do it at the end, right? Like, I mean, who was this? Andre Garrard, you know, like all of these guys are, hey, I'm just throwing names out, but this is where we are. Brian McKinney was here for kind of 5 or 10 minutes too, won a Super Bowl, so it happens, right?
Yeah, no question. But the point I was making is some of those names were on this team the last time Lamar Jackson played in a playoff game. Talking about the Buffalo game, not Tennessee the year before, Buffalo, you know, after he'd beaten the Titans on the road the previous week. And it actually, you know, had a solid game. Wasn't spectacular, but it was solid. And you thought, hey, this team's breaking through. And then Buffalo happened. Point is, we're all sick of talking about this narrative. We all are. So you can only imagine how sick Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are of hearing about this narrative. But just because it's a narrative doesn't make it untrue. And for all the accolades, all the regular season accomplishments, how outstanding this team was both in 2019 and this year in the regular season. January is when legacies are defined. Odell Beckham, it was funny. He was asked about Zay Flowers this week, and Beckham offered up he offered up a line that, yes, he was talking about Zay Flowers, but he might as well be talking about every single guy on this roster, not named John or Justin Tucker. He said, legacies are defined in January. It's when it begins. And I mean, you're talking about someone who doesn't have this long, lengthy list of postseason accomplishments, but he was part of a Super Bowl winning team just a couple years ago. So 49ers win was great. Dolphins win was great. Winning a second MVP in 5 years is outstanding. You know, it's a kind of benchmark that Lamar Jackson's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's what we're talking about at this point in time. When you talk about individual accomplishments, two MVPs, go look at the list. But none of that is truly what defines you. Truly what defines you is what you do in January. And this is Lamar's next chance. This is the Ravens' next chance. And I'll leave you with this. If not now, then when? On paper, this is, I don't know if it's going to set up better than what it is right now for Lamar Jackson and this era of Ravens football. Doesn't mean it's over if they somehow lose, but boy, if you thought the doubts have been bad the last 3, 4 years and maddening, I shudder to think what it could be if they
You
somehow
are the
don't get
Cowboys
the
on
job done.
Sunday, Saturday night if you lose. You know, you're no
And I
better
don't think,
than they are.
and let's be clear,
And
I don't
if the
think.
Bills lose on Sunday night, ditto.
Sure.
Ditto.
Talking about Mahomes on the road and the Chiefs down offensively and all that. So yeah, this is their opportunity. And look, I fully expect them to win on Saturday. You know, shocking, right? But they've got to go out and do it. And ultimately, everything you've done to this point, great. It's been a fun season. Been a really fun season. Really enjoyable.
Yeah, the Orioles season was fun too. Watching that hour and a half video of them getting their ass kicked at the end. In the end, it was fun. But it didn't feel fun when you were in the locker room in Arlington and I was sitting there at the kids' table. You know what I mean? Like that wasn't fun watching that.
Yeah. 4 years ago, we talked about this. 2019, best regular season team in Ravens history. And what we talked about, at least in passing, was 2006, which had previously been the best record, best team in the regular season in Ravens history. We don't remember those teams as fondly. Why? Because they didn't get the job done in January. So Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, it's time for them to finish their story. It's 4 years in the making. They're back on this stage, number one seed, heavy favorite as they should be. Go out and do the job.
Luke Jones is here. I got to say this. Couple things. First things first. Crab Cake Row, a cup of soup or bowl begins on February 5th. I'm wearing my Fadley shirt because we're going to begin the party at Lexington Market. I will have a Maryland lottery scratch-offs. I have some O-snaps. Still smell like gingerbread. I actually found a couple of leftover Raven scratch-offs, so I'm going to bring those out as well. Hopefully the Ravens are headed to the soup. Bowl, we're going to have a cup of soup or bowl, Maryland crab or a cream of crab at Fadley's on Monday. Tuesday, the 6th of February, we will be at Costas all day long. Marathon Radio featuring 100 local charities. We're going to be talking Super Bowl. We're going to be talking charities. We're going to be talking community efforts. We're going to be raising awareness as well as for local pantries. I just found this out from the Maryland Food Bank. Every community we're going in, the food's going to stay there. So we're going to be at Costas on Tuesday, going to be at Coco's on Wednesday down in Lauraville. Thursday, we're going to be at State Fair in Catonsville. And then Friday, we're going to be at Pappas in Cockeysville. That is the 9th of February the 5th through the 9th. It is Crab Cake Row presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation and our friends at Jiffy Lube and also Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy pouring the Royal Farms coffee in my cup. I think Luke's going to be in Vegas, but the Ravens have to make their way. Luke has a flight. Luke has a room. Luke's going to be on Brick's couch on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I've worked that out. He's got a really nice dog. You're going to have a good time there, Luke. He plays a lot of Rolling Stones. It'll be good for you out there. Out in Summerlin, you get off the strip a little bit. Rest up for the game. Super Bowl 58 is in Las Vegas. We're talking lots of folks about going out, staying here, cold weather this weekend, all of that. Luke, I want to just reset one thing before we go. About the coaching situation, because we haven't talked about this and you wrote about this, and I can promise you this from good years. And I hear Billick with his hand on my shoulder saying to me, now, you know, I'm not going to let them bring a U-Haul to the back door out here and take all my coaches out the back door. I'm not going to let that happen. John's about to have that happen, right? I mean, like literally one way or another, to your point, that Billick speech before the Super Bowl where he's like, we're only going to be in this one day. This is the last day we're ever going to be together. Well, this is the last time they're ever going to walk together on Saturday if they lose, right? And you know, at some point, if they win, it's the last time. And getting Marlon Humphrey on the field and getting Mark Andrews and trying to – like all the things that have to happen for Lamar and for John Harbaugh to go to the Hall of Fame and his brother getting a job. But Mike McDonald, just down the line, you go through – there's seven or eight guys that have – been sniffed about, including front office guys and Ortiz and other people. This is the band might be broken up Saturday night if they get double digit dogged. And because this is, he's going to lose coaches. And unlike a lot of other years, these are guys he'd rather keep.
Yeah. I mean, you never really know. And I think we always make these assumptions. And so much of this comes down to timing. I mean, you've used the example plenty of times. I mean, look at Marvin Lewis post Super Bowl. And he ended up sticking around for another year and it ended up being a couple more years till he got a job.
He had the Buccaneers job. And then the next day, Gruden is coaching the Buccaneers and they traded.
Yeah.
Right? He's back here being a defensive coordinator again.
Right. So. Exactly. So you have some of that. I mean, that's just the way this works out sometimes. So you never really know, but the point is change is inevitable. I mean, even when you don't make the playoffs or when you're out in the wild card round and you're kind of, you know, like last year, perfectly fine season given the circumstances of losing your starting quarterback in early December. I mean, no one was getting canned other than, well, Greg Roman, right? But, you know, go back to the year before that, for example, or 2 years before that would probably be the best example. You're always going to have some changes to your staff. Circumstances change. You know, a certain assistant coach wants to be back on the West Coast because their mother isn't well or something. And that's an example, right? I mean, that's just something that you hear. I mean, it is a very a not for long kind of job, right? To be an assistant coach in the league and to move up, to progress, to advance in that career field. There's constant movement. So even if Mike McDonald sticks around for another year, even if Todd Monken doesn't get a head coaching job, you can guarantee they're going to lose some assistants, some valuable assistants, because someone else is going to see someone like a Denard Wilson or a Chris Hewitt or an Anthony Weaver or a T. Martin or whoever it might be and say, hey, we want to make you our defensive coordinator. We want to make you our offensive coordinator. We want to make you this. We want to make you that. Some other up and coming assistants on the staff get an advancement, get a promotion somewhere else. So that's just the way it works. Change is inevitable, not for long, right? That's what the NFL really stands for. So again, just another reason why this team needs to seize the opportunity, because you look at the coaching staff, look at the list of free agents, look at their cap situation, which isn't great next year. Certainly going to be a lot of work for Eric DaCosta to do. We talked about all the voidable years deals that they did this past offseason. When you have voidable years, guess what happens? That hits the cap the following year. So doesn't mean the band's being completely broken up. That would be over the top. The point is, again, it's not going to be the same next year.
Well,
And
Patrick Mahomes
on
finds it out
paper,
when he's
the
out
way
there
this
looking to
thing is
find a
looked, not
wide
just on
receiver, he
paper, I
can't
mean,
find one, right?
it's Rashee Rice, who's on his way and has looked pretty good down the stretch, but he's not Tyreek Hill, So yeah, change is inevitable. So again, this goes back to that question that I posed. If not now, then when? Their window won't shut, but I'm not so sure that they're going to have a set of circumstances and variables with themselves and with the rest of the AFC that's going to set up any better than it is right now. So go do it. Go finish the story. Go get over the top. And then guys like us can finally stop talking about 2019.
Luke Jones is here. He is there in Owings Mills. He will be there behind glass with a little hot chocolate, little marshmallows in it, hopefully. Hope everybody goes down and has a good time. I hope it's a victorious weekend here for our city and for our fans. We've spent a lot of money with this franchise. My family spent a lot of money with this franchise, a lot of heart, a lot of soul. And despite my own, personal mistreatment, and I will continue to emphasize why we're not there, because we would prefer to be there and be a part of all of this. We will be watching and rooting and hoping for something that I never got to do with my dad, which is go to an AFC Championship game. Goes to the Post and Terry Bradshaw and Donald Croner back in the 70s, and then even with my son. Later on, we saw a Super Bowl, right? I mean, a lot of folks went to New Orleans or went to Tampa, but never saw an AFC Championship game here. I actually had Leonard Raskin on earlier this week. We're talking about AFC Championships. Yeah, I seen him in New England twice, won one, lost one, went to Pittsburgh. That wasn't so good. Palomalu, all that. It would be really, really nice to be able to utilize those tickets. And fingers crossed, the weather would be better. But I don't want to jinx them by talking about next week, this week. So, you better win. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.